Hallelujah. Okay.
A wise counsel?
Yes.
He said we come alive.
That was the title of the last song. I mean, the first song. I was like, where did this come from? Now, what's funny was I was over there doing the tithing confession, and I had my words all tangled up. And I was like, oh, my God. And Derek looked at me like, what is wrong with you? I don't know, but I am alive. Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your grace upon all of us. Not just me, not just this congregation, but you are good to everyone that you created. And we thank you, Father. We recognize that. And we just, I'm asking that you help me say what you want me to say and not say what I don't need to say. I need your help in that, Lord, because my mind does not always do what you want it to do. So I'm asking for your divine intervention on that, so I will be right in your perfect will tonight. And I thank you for that opportunity, and I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The first thing I want to say is it happened to me, too. Everybody that gets up here loses something. I've been working on notes off and on for 6 to 8 weeks. And I had them in this little book, and it was good stuff. But I don't have it tonight because I lost the book. So I had to start all over again. And, you know, maybe it was better this way. So we're going to go for it because I'm not all bent out of shape tonight either way. Hallelujah. I'm going to follow what Pastor Rock said, cool and calm. That's what the word says. So we're kind of going back over a few notes that we did from the first teaching on prophecy. And prophecy is the speaking forth of the mind and the counsel of God. And it is to speak, okay? It is declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. In Matthew 26 and 68, it is the foretelling of the will of God, whether with reverence to the past, the present, or the future. And if you were happening to look at Matthew 26 and 68 in this particular verse, it is talking about the soldiers mocking Jesus and how they told him, prophesy who hit you. Is that not some gall to just speak that out to Jesus? And he could stand there, he was hanging there looking at who was hitting on him, you know. But they were mocking Jesus, but what they didn't know that it was God's will that he hung on the cross for us, and they didn't know what they were talking about. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 in the Voice tells us, and I'm going over a few things, God has appointed gifts in the assembly. First, the apostles. Second, the prophets. Third, the teachers. Then miracle workers, healers, helpers, administrators, and those who speak with various unknown languages. And you all know that we have different gifts. Romans 12, 6 says that we have the different gifts according to the grace that is given us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Now, I didn't think to tell Ish these scriptures. So that was Romans 12 and 6. Okay? And in 1 Corinthians 13 and 9, for we know that we impart and we know in part and prophesy in part. 1 Corinthians 14 and 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues. Now this is Paul speaking. But I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church can be edified. Now, you know, we speak in tongues here a lot. And I would say 95% of the time, we don't know what the other person is saying. And so that's why he was saying, I would rather you prophesy, because when you prophesy, you're speaking out what the word already says. You don't have to figure out what was being said. Okay, let's see. For you can all, 1 Corinthians 14:31, you can all prophesy and take turns so that everyone can be instructed and encouraged. And let me, what's that word we use? Let me clarify this. We don't have 15 people prophesying all over the church because it's got to be done decently in order. 14:39 in 1 Corinthians. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, but don't forbid speaking in tongues. Okay. I feel like I'm skipping something here. Okay. And now these are going to be, I think, some different scriptures from my new notes. 1 Corinthians 14:5 in the Voice. While I would like for you all to be able to speak by the Spirit in unknown languages, my preference would be for you all to prophesy by the Spirit. Those who speak prophetically are God's mouthpiece and are far more useful to the church than those who speak in exotic languages, unless there's someone who interprets. Okay? And the same thing is in the Message. And, you know, it's worded a little bit more like we talked today, so I'm going to read it to you. The one who prays using a private prayer language certainly gets a lot out of it. Now, we know the Word of God says we build ourselves up when we pray in the Spirit, okay? So it says, but proclaiming God's truth to the church in its common language brings the whole church into growth and strength. Now, you know, when Pastor Rock or Pastor Sharon gets up here and preaches the word, we all get the common language that it means. We understand what they're saying because they make it very clear and plain. It says, but please don't stop with that. Go on and proclaim the clear truth to the others. It's more important that everyone have access to the knowledge and love of God and that everyone understands that than you go off and just start talking in an unknown language that others don't know what you're saying. Romans 12:6 in the Voice says, since our gifts vary depending on the grace poured out on each one of us, it is important that we exercise the gifts we've been given. Now, like, I know Carla and Deborah and both pastors and some others have a real good gift of teaching, okay? So they need to exercise. You need to exercise those gifts, okay? And if prophecy is your gift, then speak as a prophet according to your proportion of faith. If you have the gift of healing, where, you know, I believe Chrissy does, then Chrissy needs to exercise that when she feels, and she does that, and she's done it with me. I would say, I need some prayer. Am I too loud, y'all? It just seems so loud. Okay. I would need some prayer. And I didn't tell her what was hurting, but she went right to where I was hurting. That lets me know she's got that gift, you know. And that's how God works through each of us. But we don't all have those gifts. We have a gift or maybe a couple. But God gives us all different gifts so that we can fulfill every need in the church, not just one needing healing and one needing to be uplifted because of finances, but everybody's got some gift. And if you're not using it, you need to seek God out to see what your gift is. And, you know, honestly, I didn't seek God about singing and leading anything. I didn't know I was supposed to back in those days, but somebody did prophesy over me in this church before it was Oasis. And to me, I'll never forget that. That's just a miracle how God ended up bringing me back here to do what I was told I was supposed to do back then. And that was probably about 30 years ago. So, you know, when that happened. And just for a little background, the seats were facing this way, all the seats, and they were lined up like this, and the stage was over here, and it was a ministering speaker that come in, not a normal person that was to come in, and it was a lady, and she called me out, and that's when she told me, she's, and this is how she said it, the spirit of Miriam is on you. So I had to look up and see, what is this all about, you know? But it was because Miriam let them out when they had got out of Egypt. They were all, she was the leader, and she was leading them, and they were dancing and singing. And so, but it took a while to get here. But I'm thankful that I did, because I know my calling. That's the one thing I know my calling. Yeah. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14 and 3 in the International Children's Bible. But one who prophesies is speaking to people. Now listen, he gives people strength, encouragement, and comfort, okay? So the prophecy isn't just to, it's not just to warn you about something, and it could be, you could get a warning sometimes, but most of the time it's something just to pick you up and encourage you. And it's in the next one from the tree of life, same scripture, 1 Corinthians 14 and 3. But one who prophesies speaks to people for building up, urging on, and uplifting. I know we've all been to the place where we needed to be urged on. We just kind of was ready to give up or throw the towel in, as they say. But that's what prophecy is for. It's to help us stay on track or get back on track. You know, Joel 2:28, and I want y'all to remember this, because this is where we know that we're in the right when we do speak in tongues, and we do, and it's not just a man or a woman. It can be a boy or a girl, but it can be women, okay? Afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now, this is what confuses me. How can people say that a woman should never do anything in the church? Because this clearly brings out that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Even upon the men servants and upon the maid servants in those days will I pour out my spirit. And this is from the King James. And in that one, and there's several here, in King James it says, servants and handmaids. Now that's male and female, in case you didn't know. Just throwing it out there. In Joel 2:28, in the voice, in those days I'll pour out my spirit on all humanity, and your children, now claim this for our kids, they'll speak boldly, prophetically, the word of God. Your elders will dream dreams, and your young warriors. I love that. We know, remember that prophecy. It was a prophecy over one of Wanda's grandchildren? Or was it Natasha's? Natasha's grandchild. That he was had a warrior spirit. A spirit of peace. Okay. First Corinthians 14, 31 through 33. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures, but it is what it is. Okay. Those who prophesy can all take turns. We touched this earlier. And everyone can be taught and given hope. Okay, so let me just say this. Let's just say we had three people in here that were going to prophesy in a particular service. Well, one prophecy might help Bonnie, but someone else might not really get anything from that particular prophecy. But if everyone stayed in line and stayed in order, then more people could be uplifted from the prophecies that come forth. And another way, you always judge prophecy. Now, who can tell me? I'm going to ask y'all. Who can tell me, how do you judge prophecy? That's right. It's got to line up with the Word of God. If it doesn't, then something's wrong. Okay? I got three of these, but I'm going to just read one more. Same scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, 31 through 33. To avoid, in the voice, to avoid confusion and create a space where all can learn and be encouraged, let only one prophet speak at a time without interruption. You see, the prophetic spirits are under the control of the prophets. In other words, if God's given a prophet a word, that prophet's going to, if he lines up with God and does what he's supposed to do, he's not going to get out of line with that prophecy anyway. Okay? He's going to say what God says. But it's under his control. Now, he could blurt something out wrong, but then hopefully somebody will judge that and say, well, this isn't correct. I've had that done to me before, where I had been living for the Lord for years, and somebody come up, I guess they was practicing trying to do what they were supposed to do. They said, you're just a baby. And I wasn't real mature. I'm still growing, okay? But I knew as soon as he started talking, I just was real nice, you know, but I thought, this guy don't have a clue what he's talking about. So, I mean, but you know what? It may have been his first time, or he may have been trying to step out in faith, you know, so that's the way you look at that. Because he didn't speak anything bad over me. He just didn't have a clue. Okay. Because God is the author of order and not confusion. This is how it is in the gathering of the saints. That's how it always should be. And I don't think we've had a whole lot of confusion here. Maybe in practice sometimes, but not in the services, thank God. Okay. Oh, my goodness. So, what was that, Deborah? Please tell me what you said. Yes, I like that. She says behind the scenes, okay. And some of those scenes you do not want to see or replay. Okay. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, in God's Word translation, of course we are human. Okay, here's where, to me, it gets good. We don't fight like humans. The weapons we use in our fight are not made by humans. Rather, they are powerful weapons from God. With them, we destroy people's defenses or their arguments. Okay? When we say people's defenses, we're not talking about their ability to withstand the enemy. We're talking about the arguments that are not in line with the Word of God. Okay? Same scripture in the voice. For though we walk in the world, we do not fight according to this world's rules of warfare. The weapons of war we're fighting are not of this world, but are powered by God and effective at tearing down the strongholds that are erected against the truth of God. Now, we've said this before, so we know when you think someone's coming against you, really, they're coming against the Father. And so there are, all these strongholds are built up to come against the God's truth, okay? And I got one more in the New King James Version, and many of you will be aware of this one. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, I've been listening to this man. His name is Graham Cook. I don't know who may have listened to him yet. I'm going to take a wild guess and say he's Australian. Okay, because he sounds like it. But he is just such a very good teacher. And this is what he says. When you're going through something in any situation, there's only one way to think about it. He said, and any thought to have, and it is the one that Jesus is having about that situation. So we submit ourselves to the way Jesus is thinking about the situation and how he perceives that situation. Now, we've been taught that before. How does Jesus look at this, okay? So we are to yield ourselves, and this reminds me of what Pastor recently taught, and you're going to hear me mention this probably more than once, about having a calm and balanced mind. When we get into a situation, and now I know me, I don't always get calm. Ask my husband. No, don't. Because he'll tell you. But that is the best way to handle a situation of any magnitude, is first be calm. Don't go off the deep end having a fit or having the fright of your life. Stop and think about it for a minute. You have that control over yourself where you can stop and just think for a minute. Okay, what's going on here. We know this isn't good. This is not from God. So how does Jesus see this situation? And Pastor taught us this about how, taught us to see how Jesus sees the things from the beginning to the end. He doesn't just see what's happening to us right when it's happening. He already knows the outcome, okay? And he's always, Jesus is always cool, calm, and collected. He's already triumphed, he fought the battle, and he won. So, I mean, he knows we got this if we'll just lean on him, okay? God wants us to think like that and to do it without fear or anxiety. So, I know that one of our brothers here has been going through some stuff because of a situation at his household. And I know, because I've been there myself, that when you deal with some of these things, it brings anxiety. And even though you love the Lord and you're steadily in church, you're going to have that come against you, but you just got to fight it. But that's how we do that, with a calm, balanced mind. Just draw closer and closer to God. In all situations, whether good or bad or ugly, there is something tangible in that situation for us to receive from it and to enjoy. It's like taking a test and passing it. When you study, you do well. And God's allowing these circumstances and giving us the chance to show that we can overcome because he overcame, and that we can grow through that thing. Okay? If you pass a test that's given to you, even though you didn't like the test, you don't have to like the test. You just need to get through it and do it in the right way. And if you get through it and do it in the right way, you'll find yourself having joy because you did it right. And you overcame it, and the enemy's defeated. Okay? There, and here's scripture, and I forgot to look it up, but you know this scripture. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And I don't think I said the full thing, but in other words, you can get through it. Because when you're tempted, he's got a plan already in place for you in that situation. And Graham Cook says, when you do that, you receive an upgrade, okay? And he says, yeah, count it all joy. So let's just shout to the Lord right now. We can count it joy. We can count it joy. Hallelujah. That's what he's talking about. And when you're truly walking in faith, you can count it joy because you're really expecting a good outcome. You might not know how long it'll take to get to the good outcome, but in the midst of the thing that's going on, you know there's going to be a better side. You're going to the other side. Amen? Okay. Pastor said something about this, and this is what Graham Cook says. He says, make war on everything negative. Okay? And in 1 Timothy 1:18, now y'all hear this. Timothy, my dear child, I'm placing before you a charge for the mission ahead. It is in total agreement with the prophecies that were once spoken over you. Here it is, with God's message stirring and directing you, fight the good fight. Okay, so any prophecy that you got that you knew from, know is from God, you start speaking that thing out when you're going through something. Well, the Lord said this, and this is who I am. God said this about me, and you're fighting the good fight when you do that. You may not feel like you're fighting real good. I know Debbie goes through some stuff sometimes, but Debbie is faithful in church, and she can overcome every situation, and we know it. And God uses her in the praise team with the flute, and Debbie's an overcomer. You know what Graham Cook says about overcoming? Okay? You're over, and the thing is under. You're over it. You overcome. Okay? So you can plan to affect your circumstance instead of it affecting you. Okay? Remember, we're above only and not beneath. All All right. Let's see. I like this. Denzel Washington said this. I watched some of his. He has a lot of motivational things on YouTube. And I lost my notes, so this is the one thing that I can remember. Denzel said, "We don't plan to fail. We fail to plan." Okay? So plan to overcome. There's only one way to think. I started over again. The only one way to think about the situation, and that's how God's thinking about it. Okay? Another scripture from the King James, New King James, same scripture, Timothy 1:18. "This charge I commit to you, my son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare," or you're fighting the negative. Okay? Let's see. So if we're part of Christ's body and we all have different purposes and different gifts, let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be, okay? Without envy or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other. You get messed up when you say, "Well, oh, she do this better than me," or he sure is good at that, and I would like to do that. No, don't do that. That's where you mess up, and it'll bring you down when you start doing that. Don't compare yourself with each other or try to be something you're not. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take over. If you teach, stick to your teaching. If you give encouraging guidance, be careful that you don't get too bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to respond. Thank you, Chrissy. She was. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself get irritated with them or depressed. Keep a smile on your face. No matter how big, no matter how bad it looks, or how many times you have failed, the spirit that is within you is greater than whatever is going on around you. And I don't know who said that, but it was good. Okay, let's see. And here's 2 Peter 1:19. "We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable." Now listen to this. "And you will do well," Patty will do well to pay attention to it, "as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart." Okay. Hopefully just enough time. Okay. Revelations 22:18-19. I got two of these, but I want to read just one of them for time's sake. This is real important, y'all, but I think everyone here knows this anyway. "I warn everyone who hears the words of this prophecy in this book. If anyone adds anything to this, God will strike him with the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away any words from this book of prophecy, God will take away his portion of the tree of life and the holy city that are described in this book." In a healthy church, Jesus is the most famous person. He gets the most airtime, and he does. He is the most talked about. He's clearly the center stage. He's seen as the head of the church, and leadership does their best to spread his fame. John Piper said, and by the way, I have no clue who he is, "Christ doesn't exist to make much of us. We exist to make much of him." Now, the last thing I want to do is I want to read Revelation chapter 1 to you. And the reason I do is I looked over it and I said, man, so when you hear this, you'll be blessed. I don't know how, but that's what the word says. This is the revelation of Jesus, the anointed one, the liberating king, an account of visions and a heavenly journey. God granted this to him so he would show his followers the realities that are breaking into the world and soon will be fulfilled. through his heavenly messenger, he revealed to his servant John signs and insights into these mysteries. John, in turn, gave witness to the Word of God and to the glorious truth revealed about Jesus, the Anointed One, the Chosen Ruler, by carefully describing everything he saw. And this is why I'm reading this. Blessings come to those who read and proclaim these words aloud. Blessings come to those who listen closely and put the prophetic words recorded here into practice. The finale is approaching. I, John, to the seven churches in Asia, may you experience God's favor and rest in the peace that comes from the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is coming. From the seven spirits, the perfect spirit, constantly before God's throne. And from Jesus, the anointed, the witness who is true and faithful, the first to emerge from death's cold womb, the chosen ruler over all the kings and rulers of the earth. To the one who loves us and liberated us from the grip of our evil deeds through his very own blood, and who established us to be his kingdom and priests for God, his Father. May glory and power be his throughout all the ages. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds in glory. He will capture every eye, even of those who pierced him through. All the nations of the earth will be pierced with grief when he appears. Yes, may all this be done according to his plan. Amen. And the Lord God says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the very beginning and the very end, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who is coming, the all-powerful. I, John, your brother, who shares with you this journey in persecution and the establishment of the kingdom and endurance in Jesus, was on the isle called Patmos because of the ministry of the Word of God and my testimony about Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, and I heard a voice behind me. It sounded like the blast of a trumpet. And the voice says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the very beginning and the very end. Make a book of what you see and write it down and send it to the seven churches, which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. When I turned around to see what sort of voice this was that was addressing me, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands, I saw one like the Son of Man right in front of me, dressed in a long robe. Across his chest was draped a golden sash. His head and hair were pure white as wool and white as snow. His eyes blazed like a fiery flame. His feet gleamed like brightly polished bronze, purified to the perfection in a furnace. His voice filled the air and sounded like a roaring waterfall. He held seven stars in his right hand. From his mouth darted a sharp double-edged sword, and his face shone a brilliant light like the blinding sun. The Son of Man is none other than the risen Jesus shining in glory, moving among the lampstands. When I saw him, I fell at his feet. It was though I were dead, but he reached down and placed his right hand on me. And then this is what he said, this is not the time for fear, for I am the first and the last, and I am the living one. I entered the realm of the dead, but see, I am alive, and for all the ages, even ages to come, amen. I possess the keys to open the prison of death and Hades. Now write down all that you have seen, all that is, and all that will be, regarding the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and of the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the heavenly messengers who preside over the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches themselves. Now, also when I read that, it says whoever reads it will be blessed, but whoever hears it will be blessed. So I spoke a blessing over you, and we talked about prophecy. This is what prophecy is. It's full of prophecy. And let's just do our best to be ourselves and who we're called to be, what our gifts are, and use them for God's glory. Amen. And that's all I have for you. Thank you.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.